It's Drill 5 Radio through an internet blast. On your digital plats, international podcast. You sit down with a tall glass, take it from brass. You can learn a little something, have a good laugh. Now if you're late to this party, don't forget, they got episodes on deck for you to check. The archive deep, lit like car lights beat. You ain't seen this much exposure since Cardi B. Hey, plugging the scene like plumbers on pipe leaks. Running their numbers up, shows drop weekly. Guests from everywhere, but they still rep home team. 305, not just a name, they promote team. So relax, put your feet up, smoke some of your re-up. Enjoy the show with the exclusive meetup. Yeah. Day County, know the style. It's Struck and Dre Mav on your radio dial.
On 305 Radio.
They on that.
305 Radio.
Struck and Dre Mav on your radio dial.
And welcome to 305 Radio. My name is Struck, and I'm here with the founders of NFT Week. Gentlemen, please introduce yourselves.
Hi, my name is Gianni DeLerta. I'm born and raised in Miami in the 305. Okay. And reside in Kendall now.
Ooh, Kendall.
Hey, everybody. My name is Eric LaPaglia. I am the token outsider. I've been proud to call Miami home the last 3 years, and very happy to be joining today.
Welcome to Miami.
Definitely. Welcome, welcome. This is your boy, Ted Lucas. Born and raised in Miami Gardens. Glad to be here today. 305 Podcast.
That is what's up.
That's right.
Amen. All right, gentlemen. So, NFT Week. You guys are the founders of NFT Week. And the crypto space, this whole crypto space has been so riddled with news, drama, issues. Tell me about NFT Week before we dive into everything that has to do with crypto, because there's so much good to say, but it's not being said.
Well, there was another conference called Bitcoin 21. It was a 21, right?
Correct.
And it was during the calamity right after the pandemic, mm-hmm. when everybody wanted to get out and come back to the real world.
Yeah.
And everybody was descending into Miami.
Yeah.
And that conference drew, what was it, like 12,000 people? It was like crazy. Wynwood Manor had mm-hmm. people wrapping around the building mm-hmm. to get into this. But you know, my impression and the impressions of my co-founders and my partners, that it's not Miami, right? And the majority of what happens in conferences, they pick a spot where they can draw people to the location as a benefit, as a feature of the conference, right? Mm-hmm. Like, come to the beaches, get the whole Miami vibe.
Yeah.
But they don't really care about the local founders and the entrepreneurs and people doing stuff in that space. Mm-hmm. They may pick one or two people, but they're not really interested in that. And so, especially during the Bitcoin conference, they didn't allow anything other than Bitcoin to be talked about. They didn't talk about Ethereum, other tokens,
yeah.
or NFTs, or any of those things. So I had the idea of, you know, something NFT related, something with Miami. I had purchased some domains.
Nice.
I was interacting with the city, with Mayor Suarez and Venture Miami. And
we're going to talk about that.
And we you know, I sent them a message. These are my ideas.
Okay.
And then, you know, the team at the city introduced me to my two partners, Ted and Eric. And we decided that there needed to be something that was ours, right? There mm-hmm. would be something that's Miami based mm-hmm. and that has that demographic, the ethnicities, the culture that is ours being represented there. Over other conferences that come and go, and they don't really have a real focus on those things.
Yeah, and I know that when you look at these conferences, it's like you have to be privileged enough to be in that circle to be a part of it. So I think it's really good that you brought it home with the type of event that it is. But now, what do you see as the difference? If I were to say Bitcoin 2021 NFT Week, what are the big differences aside from what you just stated?
Our conference just fundamentally looks different than other conferences in the space. We invite everyone, so we want to make sure that new folks are coming into the space and learning about the opportunities, not only with NFTs, mm-hmm. but with blockchain in general. And obviously that means that we need to make the outreaches in the community. And so like I said, I have two partners who were born and bred here. They have deep roots and they have deep connections, specifically in education and higher education. And so we make concerted outreach to those groups of stakeholders to make mm-hmm. sure they're sending their students out to learn from our conference. And I'm fortunate. I get to do a lot of conferences. Mm-hmm. One thing that struck me last year is that people sat in the seats. They didn't leave because they were so enthralled with what was being said and they were learning so much. They stayed the whole darn day. You don't see that in other conferences. And so I believe fundamentally that what we put together is a different sort of an animal. It, mm-hmm. And when I say animal, I'll even, you know, share this anecdotally. We had dogs at our conference. We had folks well into their 70s, 80s, and 90s. We had little kids and babies at our conference. It was absolutely everything that is great about Miami and what Miami continues to become, which I believe has every opportunity to be the cornerstone of this technological revolution that's going to fuel the next wave of technology in the economy.
I agree, man. I definitely agree. How do you feel Miami's role in blockchain technology could be, in the sense of you have El Salvador that's straight Bitcoin. They became like the testing grounds for the whole Bitcoin dependency, which to them, the locals aren't, they're indifferent about it. You know what I mean? So how do you see Miami in the future when it comes down to Bitcoin? I mean, I'm sorry, blockchain.
Well, let me touch even on El Salvador. I think that is a mechanism of only having one provider. Mm-hmm. Crypto should be a cheaper way to transact, just fundamentally at its core. And when you have one provider who has a lock on the pricing, it's more expensive to remit Bitcoin right now in El Salvador than it is Western Union, which is the prevalent money transfer system. And so it's hard to get adoption when you're not a better mousetrap. And so I think that's one of the fundamental problems. But getting back to your question, I grew up in Palo Alto, California, and I will just share with you, growing up in the heart of Silicon Valley, what I see going on right now in Miami is the same sort of passion and enthusiasm around wanting to build, disrupt, grow, and do things just fundamentally differently. Mm-hmm. And it's happening right here in Miami right now. And the testament to that is that this city led, I don't want to misquote it, but I believe it was either 10 or 11 quarters in a row that it led the nation in tech job hires. I believe historically it had never led the nation in tech job hires one quarter.
I agree. That's the truth. That is the truth. Mr. Lucas.
Yeah.
How do you come into the mix, man? Because I'll be honest, you know, I hear your name. I think music. I think event. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I think music, different types of events, not blockchain. How'd you get into the mix with this?
It's no different from me. I was one of the first to put Miami on the map for music. And thanks. I feel like what's happening here in the tech space is no different. I want to be the first to do this as well. I think it's important. Something you said earlier here, you said with the NFTs for people that's privileged.
Yeah.
That's something I don't believe in. And that's something I don't stand by. So what brought me into this is making sure people that look like you and I mm-hmm. are involved in this tech space. People like you and I educated on what's really going on in the Web3 space. So that's what brought me into this. You know, like I said, I love this city. I believe it's important that people that look like you and I mm-hmm. get the knowledge from it and educate and get jobs and get yes. the funding that is needed as well. I want to make sure we're making a difference. Eric just spoke about how we led three quarters in a row?
No, like 10 or 11.
Wow. That's great to know. You know right. what I'm saying? That's what it's about right now. We're going to have these major companies coming in town and all the things that's happening. How can I help? I want to make sure I stand on the front line and make sure, how can we help locals make sure they get involved?
And I mean, if anyone's going to do it, it's you.
That's right.
You know?
Let's do it.
Now, gentlemen, with you know, there's so much to touch on in blockchain technology. I mean, from NFTs to how we were speaking earlier about how it's going to become pretty much the way to keep your receipts for everything, right? Now, this event, you're giving a platform to a lot of creators and influencers that typically aren't invited or allowed on stage to events like this. Now, what brought that on? Like, what was the light bulb that said, you know what, let's just get people that, that need that voice, that need a stage?
I mean, like a good story from last year, you know, I'm Hispanic, right? Mm-hmm. Parents are Cuban, came to Miami. I was born in Miami, obviously, but the Hispanic culture is a part of me. And in none of these conferences do you see that Latin voice, unless you went to Argentina or you went to El Salvador. Mm-hmm. There may have some events, but in North America, there's not much of that. And so, for example, having a panel where I had, you know, we had, you know, Hispanic voices. Mm-hmm. We had different people doing interesting things. This lady named Carmen Pelaez doing something with Cuban art from her great granddad from Cuba. Oh, wow. To Laura Rodriguez, who bought a Bored Ape in a sense and used that as a platform to kind of educate people Hispanic in Spanish and English on Twitter, and has amassed a huge amount of following. Like things like that is why we think it's important to have these different panels, and the diversity of the panels that we have, as well the different voices, as well as not requiring someone to do something to be on a panel, right? Yeah. To be a speaker, they apply, they put their bio, and obviously there's going to be a little bit of an emphasis on somebody from Miami. Mm-hmm. Somebody that has part of our culture, part of our thing. They're going to get a little bit of a higher bump than someone that's been talking in the blockchain circuit forever. We have a nice mix of veterans, of people starting something new, a little bit of all that.
I saw that. I noticed, I saw a lot of familiar faces. You know, I'll be honest, the one that caught my eye, Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban is ahead of the curve all the time. So when you see, when you start doing these blockchain events and you start piecing this together, do you see... What level would you know? Because I'm thinking top level, you have individuals like Mark Cuban and like yourselves that see the potential of it. Now, do you see anywhere that it's being utilized already successfully, the blockchain technology?
It's already being utilized in so many places, and you don't even realize. So, I'll give you an example, just because it's an everyday like household thing for mm-hmm. people. Starbucks coffee just reimagined their loyalty program, and it is all on chain. No. It's done on the Polygon network. They don't utter the word NFTs. It's just a digital loyalty program, and so NFTs honestly are a awful moniker for what the technology really can deliver on. Mm-hmm. I think that we're probably not going to be using that phrase 5-10 years down the road. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be digital. It's much like the metaverse right now. Everybody thinks it's like this interesting, like standalone thing. It's just a better version of a website. Exactly. It's more rich, yeah. It's immersive in nature, but it really, it's just the next iteration of that. And so you're seeing states and municipalities mm-hmm. dive into this technology. California just did a program where their IDs, their driver's licenses, are now on chain. No. There was a lot of news recently that Bank of America filed a patent for a digital passport. Those things are coming. We are in the next 5 to 7 years, we're going to see everything open for disruption. And personally, I hate receipts. Like, I fundamentally hate receipts. And so if I had a digital receipt for my transactions, mm-hmm. it would make my life so much easier.
I mean, we're also going to see things that are not yet been seen, like the title to your home or the title to your car, or title to other property. Will be probably contained in NFT. You're not going to call it an NFT. You're going to call it It'll be a digital title, but you can only do it with an NFT, because once I own it, I transfer it to you. There's a whole provenance, there's a whole history mm-hmm. That has yet to happen completely, but there are people that are working towards that and whatnot. And what's the ramification of that? In the United States, we already have a title system, and mm-hmm. we have property, and what can you do with property? You can lend against that property, you can do mortgages, but there's many countries in the world that don't have real ownership. The government doesn't have a real program to do that. Maybe NFTs give other countries the ability to do title and to do other things, and now open up this dark capital. You know, there's been some pretty interesting conversations about that idea, but there's no mechanism in which to do it where everybody can trust. Yes. The people involved with that interaction.
So before I start diving into like just more of how to utilize this technology, how did each of you fall into, how did you fall into the rabbit hole of blockchain?
I'll start. Basically, in, I used to work for Alienware. Miami is, that's an early success of Miami. Two guys from Hialeah.
What? Alienware's from Miami?
Of course. Yeah, two Hialeah guys. Started making computers from the garage.
Man, mind blown. That's amazing. Yeah. I love Alienware. Shout out to them.
Two guys from Hialeah started making computers. They started doing LAN parties and whatever. It's a long story, but they became very successful and they got bought out by Dell. But after that, I talked to a guy that was mining Bitcoin. It was a guy that worked with me at Alienware. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell is Bitcoin? I didn't understand what that meant. That mm-hmm. was like 2010. You know, 2011.
Tell me about Bitcoin.
And then in 2013, there was this fiasco with Silk Road.
Yes, I remember.
That blew up. And I wasn't so much interested in the illicit things that they were doing. I was more interested in how the people doing the illicit things were trusting each other. How can these people sell drugs or do these evil things? Not evil.
All these nefarious.
Nefarious.
Things.
Nefarious. I mean, there's a lot of weird things that were happening there. The drugs probably are the least nefarious one.
Yeah.
But the idea that they were doing this and trusting each other, they were bonding themselves with Bitcoin, right? They mm-hmm. would have to pay into this e-commerce to do this. I found that fascinating. I started reading all about it, and I understood it. And I launched some projects, like creative projects. I'm a designer. I'm a marketing mm-hmm. guy. And it kind of gave me some street cred. And that year in 2014 was the year that Ethereum was announced. Ethereum was announced here in Miami. I don't know if you know that as well.
It was at a conference,
the North American Bitcoin Conference. And it was the night before. And I actually ended up in the house, in the Ethereum house, the night before Ethereum was announced. It's the Miami story for sure. I freaking hustled my way in there. They needed some t-shirts. I was doing crypto t-shirts. Somebody called me, hey, they need some t-shirts done within 24 hours. Like, I'll try.
Boom.
And I showed up and I did realize that I was watching history unfold, because I had been following a little bit of what Vitalik had been writing in the Bitcoin magazine and whatnot. But I mean, fast forward, you know, because of that experience, because of Miami, mm-hmm. because we were that destination mm-hmm. for them to do that conference, for me to be aware that these things were happening, that conference had maybe a couple hundred people. There weren't that many people. It was in the Miami Beach Convention Center, smaller than a little breakout room, the amount of people that were there, right? Uh-huh. And one of the most influential pieces of technology in the history of man was debuted there in Miami for all to see. Had I not been watching, had I not been participating, it wouldn't have changed my life. And as a result, I became part of that team in a very small part, mm-hmm. but just volunteering and being part of their forums and whatnot. I later went to work with the co-founder of Ethereum, Anthony DiOrio, who was a keynote speaker at our conference this year, mm-hmm. In 2017, 2018. And again, in all these different times, there's an ups and downs that go with crypto, with new technology. Mm-hmm. But if you keep sticking through it, it on many layers start unwrapping of possibilities, of opportunities, of jobs, of technologies, of ideas and things that are happening, right? Like every single time through technology, there's situations where people start saying that it's not good. For example, like mm-hmm. you know, when I was in high school or in junior high, I had a beeper. My grandmother said, why do you have a beeper? Well, that's only for drug dealers and doctors, right? Well, what happened to the kids? We were sending each other text messages and communicating with numbers, 143, I love you, other numbers that are probably the ones that we don't want to talk about, that you want to do with your girlfriend. But that's what happened. And then you know, later on you do e-commerce. Oh, your grandmother, tu abuela, says, how are you putting your credit card into the internet? That's only for thieves, right? Yes. Like, nobody would do those things. So, I mean, that's how I got into crypto. I went through a little bit of a tangent there, but it was Miami that got me into crypto. That's the reality.
I mean, you were there.
But in Miami.
You were there at the beginning of Ethereum, which is incredible. How'd you get into blockchain?
For me, it was kind of getting struck over the head a couple times with a 2x4 of knowledge. Yes. I had some friends in 16 who told me to really push all my chips into crypto. Mm-hmm. They did. They're now living in their second homes in Dorado down in San Juan that are worth $20 million and flying private jets around the world. I did not. I dipped my toe in and I did okay, but I'm a firm proponent in life. Whatever you pay for, you pay attention to. And so it caught my interest. And so as I saw things start to unfold in the NFT space specifically, mm-hmm. I'm in a group chat with Gary Vaynerchuk. He had a call. We all got on. There were only like 13 of us. And he said, gentlemen, you need to be paying attention to NFTs. It's going to be the next big thing. Mm-hmm. About that same time, I saw another podcast, Bankless, had Mark Cuban on. And he spent 2 hours talking to these two young men. And at the time, they probably only had less than 20,000, you know, viewers or followers. Mm-hmm. And I said, if this gentleman, a multi-billionaire, is devoting not one, but 2 hours of his time to sit down and have a conversation about blockchain, NFTs, and the future of Web3 with these gentlemen, I should probably be paying attention to that.
There's something there.
Yeah, there's something there. And so I started making some bets in this space. I, you know, bought my first NFTs and the rest is history. And I'm fortunate that I still think we're incredibly early. And so all of the foundational elements of what we've done in this space as a conference and as individual founders and investors is going to be the seeds of the next wave of technology. And I said the same thing before, but it's just, I want to reinforce that because it is so very, very vital for your listeners to understand they need to jump in. And I'm not going saying buy a token. I'm saying invest in knowledge. And so maybe that means putting $50 into Ethereum or BTC, Bitcoin, or maybe it's buying an online course or it's a book, but start getting interested in this because if you don't, you will miss the fourth industrial revolution. Ooh.
Just for those that don't know, what are the other three?
The powered engine, the steam engine. Yes. Printing press, and yes. Then what's the third? The industrial revolution, the Gutenberg Bible, the printing press, and God, now we're gonna look stupid on your podcast. You might have to edit this part out. Yeah. So
definitely that's how you got in. Mr. Lucas, how'd you get in?
For me, listen, I'm sitting home in the middle of COVID, seeing what was happening, seeing the transition from the music business switching right in front of my eyes and saying what the future of the music business looked like. Mm-hmm. And I feel NFTs had a big part in it, and they was gonna be the future of what music is gonna look like and where music is headed. And that's why I decided to get into it. I always take my hat off to Venture Miami, the city of mine, Mayor Francis Suarez. Yeah. I didn't know him before this. I went down, he said, how can I help? I said, I see you, how can I help? And I see what you're doing all around the country, but how can we help locals? And he said, Ted, I'm glad that you're here. I'm excited that you're here, and we're gonna help you. So Venture Miami, I like to take my hat off to them all the time because they were the ones that introduced me to these gentlemen here as well and everything. And during that time, as I'm learning and they educating me, I released my own NFT.
Okay.
Which was peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly.
Nice.
Yes.
But, did you drop the song or you dropped an image for it?
I dropped the image, you know. So I own the trademark for the Dancing Banana.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I own the trademark for the Dancing Banana.
That is amazing.
I have the song, though, with the NFT, right?
Yeah, the song with the NFT. So the banana and an NFT, we released that early as an NFT, and it's generated revenue still today. And
amazing.
You know, a song that's so historic for Miami, and what it's been able to do for Miami is definitely one of the ones I wanted to release as an NFT. And that was my welcome into the business, and it's been exciting.
I can imagine, man, because, you know, when the reason why I ask about the rabbit hole, right, is because when I finally got into the whole digital space, like that whole blockchain, it was like free falling from the highest height. And, you know, it's good to hear that that everyone's been able to dip their toes in it, but it's incredible to hear the different situations, the different experiences that got you in. You know, and Eric, I mean, you were in California, Silicon Valley, when it started, right? You saw it flourish.
Well, come on, man. I'm not that old. but I definitely was around as, you know, it exploded. So the IBMs of the world were already there. But like, as an example, my mom was an early employee at Sun Microsystems, which was a massively disruptive company at the time.
Okay.
And so I saw what innovation can do for not only a community, but for the individuals who power it. Mm-hmm. And you hear these three diverse backgrounds. The reason is, it's because there are so many different touch points and applications for blockchain. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I just encourage people to start to focus on is find your niche. If you're a small business owner and you don't have a Web3 or a blockchain integration strategy, you're going to miss the boat. If you're a young kid, start learning about this stuff. Go out and look at, you know, Solidity, which is the programming language of Ethereum, or even these AI resources that are now starting to be built on chain. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's an opportunity unlike any other. And just so I don't sound like a complete idiot, I did look up what were the three industrial revolutions. It is the steam engine. I was right, one out of three. Okay. The age of science and mass production and the rise of digital technology.
Ooh.
And if you look at the cadence of those three things, it took quite a bit of time. And so, hey, I'm saying now the digital, you know, technology revolution has only been 30, 40 years old at this point, but time compresses and our human knowledge continues to evolve at a rapid pace. In 3 years from now, mankind will produce 7 petabytes of data a second. And in case you guys don't know, a petabyte is a one with 15 zeros out of it. That's so if you think about the accumulated information that we're spitting out on a daily basis going forward, it's insane. And so we are on the cusp of that fourth industrial revolution, and it is going to be a massive opportunity.
Now, talking about opportunities one thing, but I have to bring up the elephant in the room, right? The current state of the media when it comes down to this digital space. You know, that's something that I know because I'm aware of the space. I know that's not 100%. That's not going to last forever. But you have FTX, you have the Miami coin, you have all these small nuggets of it's bad news, you know, in this space. Do you think these are part of normal hiccups in any beginning industry?
When streaming first came about in the music business, it had hiccups.
Oh, man. Metallica created.
Thank you.
It was disastrous for everyone.
Everything has hiccups. If it don't, it's a problem. We're gonna iron out the kinks. We're going to get it right. And it's going to be back bigger and stronger. It's a part of it. It comes with it. When you see something so perfect, that's when you need to run. Because somebody's controlling something that's not right and it's not correct. And you're going to be in serious trouble down the line. It's just a part of the business. And I think what it did, it caught a lot of people off guard. It was early and it allowed some bad people in. It happens.
Yeah.
Things like this happen all the time. But I feel like it's going to iron itself out and it's going to come back bigger and stronger. And that's why you need to be at Miami NFT conference to see where do you fit in at? What makes sense for me? How do I see my future going down the line? If Ted Lucas sitting here, a guy that's in the music business, not been invited to that special meeting that Gianni, and I'm not from Silicon Valley, I'm from the 305,
yep.
And I'm getting involved. I'm educating myself every day, learning as we go. I think everybody need to get involved quickly. I feel like I've been a great example in the music business, and I want to do the same in this tech space, in the NFT space, in the Web3 space.
Well, you're putting your time and your effort exactly where your mouth is, because what you've done with the Innovation Center at Florida Memorial, what you want to continue to do to spread this message, and I'll say it because you haven't yet, that your intention is to fund Black and Brown founders. And I love that because I'm very much the same vein. I grew up in a house with all women. And so when I see a woman-led company, I'm going to give it an outsized piece of my attention because I want more women in the space. I want more diversity in the space, because if we don't do this right now, what's going to happen is the players in Web3 are going to be the players that were in Web2. And it's going to be the Googles of the world. It's going to be these large monolithic corporations. And that's not the ethos of what Web3 is all about. And so I am out there from the mountaintops along with my founders, encouraging everybody, attend our conference. That's great. That's a good look for Miami. But I want them to get interested and get involved at whatever their jumping off point is. Because a lot of people right now, because of the headlines that you reference, have contempt prior to investigation. But when you investigate this, there is no doubt that there is something there. And one thing that's happened with FTX, with the coins and all of those things, nobody's questioning the underlying technology. And I'll leave you with this. Jamie Dimon is out there publicly saying Bitcoin is trash. And in the background, he's hiring 4,500 cryptologists to power Onyx, which is their own private blockchain, which it right now is the largest blockchain project on the earth.
Okay. All right. That's
right.
I think it sounds like he's just trying to get rid of his competition ahead of time. That's what it sounds like to me. You get it. You know? So you have mentioned getting what you fit in, right? So what kind of opportunities are there at NFT Week?
The opportunities, number one, is to learn from all different facets of it's not just NFTs, because NFTs is a product or a feature of blockchain technology, right? Mm-hmm. You can't create an NFT without having blockchain, without having crypto.
Yes.
And so the future is Web3. And at the conference, there's going to be talks about regulation. There's going to be talks about the legal ramifications. There's going to be artists talking about how they're using NFTs to sell their work. They could be from other countries where maybe they don't have the freedom to sell their work or have to ask permission, for example, to sell their work or gain money. There's topics on communities that are coming together and working together to do good things, where an NFT, for example, raises money so that they can fund another project or give a grant to an artist or give a grant to someone doing something interesting. Interesting things with membership, interesting things with ticketing, interesting things with sports and music. There's just so many facets. And again, when someone says that this is bad, then everybody thinks it's bad and whatever. But the reality is, just like that beeper story, just like doing something online and using your credit card to check out, everybody was not wanting to do that. There was times when I was a web designer and I said, I do web design. Why do I need a website? Who needs a website, right? Yeah. I don't need a website. Who's going to come to my website? Well, I just have a fax machine. The fax is fine with me. Where's the fax machine now, right? And so all these things kind of come in cycles. But the reality is that at least in blockchain and other technologies, like you mentioned, like even in the music industry, different types of, for a long time, we had records. Then we had cassettes. Yeah. Then we have CDs. Yeah. Then we had streaming. And then each thing leads to something else. And the people that were in it for a long time that put a lot of money and effort, and they don't want that thing to go away. They don't want that thing to be turned off. They want something easy and comfortable. But it's the young people. It's the people coming up with new ideas that blockchain, Web3, like that's what they're going to get from the conference. Like they're going to get what's the next thing. Every conference, the Silicon Valley guys, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and all these people went to conferences and meetups to trade notes about the motherboards they were building. And from there, magical things happen.
We brought it up a couple times, so I just want to give a little origin story of why Silicon Valley is Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. It was in the late 60s. Stanford University was hosting free meetups and inviting technology enthusiasts up and down the West Coast to come share, experience, learn in these ecosystems. And they did it for years with intention. And what happened is people started to pay attention. People moved there. Their students started to start companies in the Bay Area. And what sprouted up is this technological revolution that is now Silicon Valley. And it powered, Web 1, Web 2, and in no small part, starting to power Web 3. That was born from the thirst of knowledge and the opportunity to learn. And so that's what we're looking to do at this conference. And you asked specifically how they can get involved. Put your money where your mouth is. Go buy a ticket. We look to be the most affordable conference in the space purposely because we want everybody to be able to attend. But if the lift is too high for that, come volunteer with us. Go, come experience. Like, we want to be as roomy, as inclusive. If somebody's standing outside of our conference and finances keeping them away or whatever the case may be, that breaks my heart, and I don't want that. So you can email me. I mean, you can send all of us messages. We're all very, very public in the space. Like, if you can't get the resources, DM us. We will get you tickets. You do not want to miss this. If you're within earshot of my voice, it is incumbent upon you to be there, because I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to not be part of what's next.
You heard it here first.
That's right. Let me add to that. You heard my partner speak about what I'm doing at Florida Moore University. Mm-hmm. Opened up an innovation tech lab. That is for our community and the students at Florida Moore to be able to get involved. I want that same thing that they had at Stanford. Well, we got creative people coming together, mm-hmm. and we're going to be able to feed this pipeline of talented people here getting jobs in this tech space. And we're also going to find founders. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for the guy that's going to be the head, be ahead of what's happening next in the music space. That's what I'm really, really looking for. I'm doing this for this. I'm looking for him to probably participate on this stage at the Miami NFT conference, or he might just be walking around. And he come up to me and say, Mr. Lucas, I got a way that we're going to change streaming to the new Web 3. I'm waiting to hear that. That's who I'm looking for. I have already, in the last 2 years, invested in 7 founder startup companies, people that from here, South Florida. So now I'm not investing in rappers no more. I'm investing in founders that got startup companies. And that's why we do what we do, to give those people the opportunity.
That's amazing.
Yes, that's what it's about.
That is amazing. I mean, and I think about music, right? Mm-hmm. And because of the nature of what I do, at least, right? I interact with a lot of artists and up and coming artists. And when I ask them about this space, they're oblivious.
Yeah.
They have no clue. They say, well, you know, I can sell my album cover. Nah, that's not.
It's not art. It's not art. That's what everybody thinks. Yeah. And that's what we do in this conference. Like Gianni told you and Eric told you 5 minutes ago. There's so many different ways for this Web 3. Everybody think when they hit NFT, they think it's a digital piece of art.
That's all they think of, yeah.
That is over. That was just the first thing that the light shined on. That is over. That's not what NFT is about. Mm-hmm. There's so many different opportunities in this Web 3 space, and we want to educate people and let them see, wow, I can do that. Wow, my daughter's already doing that. And that's a business.
Yes.
We got to, you know, take the scale off their eyes and put the spotlight on and let them understand what's really going on.
Now, I like to say just real quick with what Ty was saying, you know, NFTs was a gateway to blockchain because it was art and people relate to art. If I have a song, I can upload a song, I can upload a picture, and now I'm on the blockchain. I have to get a wallet. I have to get some crypto. Mm-hmm. Had they not had the art part of it, they would never have opened the wallet. They would never have learned about any of those things. So they can say all they want that it's bad or whatever. You know what they're saying it's bad about? It's because they speculated, because there's some people that said this one's worth X amount of dollars and this one's worth the other amount of dollars. But at the end of the day, the NFT doesn't know its value. It's us humans creating the value that we want. But the reality is, there's someone in Cuba that got an NFT and was able to leave Cuba because he was able to sell an NFT, for example, mm-hmm. let's say. And there are people that had never done anything on blockchain or technology, but because they were creative or whatever, they got involved with that. Now that it's exactly what happened to me. I was not a financial person. I was not into economics. I was not into any of those things. I did something in art, in crypto, mm-hmm. and at the end of the day, it exposed me to all these different technologies and it opened my eyes. I like to say, like, the wool was removed from my eyes to learn about finance, to learn about economics, to learn about my own value. Even my business changed from doing things that were project-based to saying, you know what, I need a retainer. Now I know how value works. All these different things happen as an epiphany of being involved in blockchain, Web3. You can call it Web3, you can call it crypto, you can call it coins, you can call it whatever the hell you want. Just the same with Ted. If I'm in music, I'm in music. Doesn't mean I could be music in many different ways. Maybe that musician didn't make it, but he started doing promotion. Maybe he started doing, when they find other artists.
Yeah,
maybe producers. He gets into marketing. Yeah. Like, it's a gateway to bigger things.
Correct.
And that's how we have to see it. You know, not let, and by the way, majority of the people that say things, it's a very loud minority.
Yes.
Very loud minority. Yeah. So,
you know, and you, throwing it back to music, right? People don't realize that the ownership of the an artist doesn't own his masters. People don't realize that. So, Ted, from your perspective, you know, how would this digital space help artists become become and more well, how would you empower artists through this space?
They will own it. Now you are the brand. You are Nike now. You are BET now. You are MTV now. You got to wake up every day and build your brand. And the more valuable you build your brand, that makes people want to do business with you. People got to get out of the mindset of they're just a musician and they just make music. That is over. Today, in 2023, you got to build your brand. And that's what's important about this. They build a brand. It make people like me have to come to them and license their music. You don't have to give it away no more. You can own it. You can control it. Now, Web3 has gave artists more control than ever. Before, you made a record, you had to go knock on somebody's door and say, listen to my music. You don't have to do that no more. You can put it on social media, and the power of social media can make me have to come knock on your door and give you an opportunity, give you a deal. And now you control what that deal looked like now. Before, I told you the terms and conditions and what your record was valuable for, and I see what the momentum with the DJs and all that. Mm-hmm. Now you can put up a record tonight and hit social media, and that community that love you as a brand tells me how big your brand is, because now you can sell merchandise. Now you can put a line down the street and make people come to a concert. You don't think Coca-Cola want to be a part of that?
Absolutely.
Come on.
You're right.
That's where we at now. And when artists realize that, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I want to be on that side with them. I don't want to be trying to give you a record deal. Those days are over.
Your wallet's going to be tied to those projects. Your digital wallet, just to make sure.
But specifically, like, let's pull on that thread. It's actually a paradigm shift for the artists as well, because one of the most opaque things in the history of numbers is entertainment accounting.
Yes.
Like, it's insane. Like, triple net. Like, I don't even want to get started because I've made some investments in that space. And I think I know numbers. I couldn't make heads or tails of what they were doing. And so having that relationship and the contract and the terms of the agreement memorialized on blockchain removes doubt from the equation. Everything's on chain for public view, and the money flows exactly as it should. And not only for entertainment royalties, but think about law. How much money is made by the legal industry over contract disputes? If contracts were on chain, and when contracts are on chain going forward, it's going to be very difficult to say, no, those aren't the terms, because the terms were memorialized once, and there's no longer a conversation about, oh, I didn't mean that, or you should have gotten this. It's just there on chain.
And smart contracts, once they're locked, they're locked.
Exactly.
I mean, you use a notary, the best notary in the world is on the blockchain.
Very true.
I mean, just the fact, even if you didn't sell the music, and Ted or one of his artists were to have made, or any artist, musician, whatever, just mints it, puts it as an NFT online, they can say moving forward that they were the first to put out that song. Someone has to disprove them that they did it before them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can go and hear that song and claim that you were the one that did it, but if I came and showed a court of law that on this blockchain, immutably, this song was recorded and posted there, they can't change it. Nobody can change it. Mm-hmm. There could be no dispute. There hasn't been any battle with legal things to prove that, but it can hold up because there's no way to change it.
Correct.
Like, that's a notary. Mm-hmm. That's why the reality is what an NFT is, to be honest with you, is a title to a digital asset.
It's a receipt, yeah. Yep.
That's all it is.
So you think about it, right? I remember artists would have a record and they would hold that record and they don't want to release it because they didn't want to release it.
All right.
Welcome to Miami.
That's a Miami sound.
That's right. You think about it. Someone would not want to release a record because they're afraid somebody's going to steal their lyrics. They're afraid somebody's going to steal their beats. Those days are over now, because now when you release a record and it's digitally put up, we know where that record originally was made at. We know where it came from. Mm-hmm. And there's no way you can say, I took your CD.
Yeah.
And those days are over. Yeah. Artists were so scared to release a record because they're afraid that someone bigger than them is going to take their record and put it out and redo it over. And they have to go to court to prove that they had this record before. How can you prove it back then?
Now
you can prove it.
See, and that's really interesting to say, because we could talk shit about music industry all day, but you know very well, I see it with the unsigned artists. They, for the lack of better words, they're scared shitless of putting out certain products because they don't want the top tier artist seeing it and say, hey, I'm gonna go ahead and do this. So it's a really good point in that.
I recommend reference. You do it. Put it out as soon as you, and I'm being honest, you want them to blow the record up because now you own that.
You were the first and it could be proven.
Exactly.
Some of the most successful people in the Web3 space and specifically in NFTs are musical artists.
Yeah.
You've got Blau, you've got Don Diablo, yeah. You've got Steve Aoki, yes. You've got all of these folks who are making moves in the space, Blondish, Spotty Wi-Fi. I mean, the list goes on, and they're not afraid to embrace this technology. And guess what? Not only have they done very, very well, their fan base has embraced it, and it's created this cult-like following for these figures, and they have a relationship now with their fans in a way that they were never able to do before because they own the narrative.
Yeah, and you know, there's a band, Queens of Leon.
Yeah, they were a very successful.
They actually had an NFT project that if you were the top of the auction, you won the auction for X NFT, you had the option to do production with them, to sit down in the studio and produce with them.
And they had other utility for concert access and front row and meet and greets, yeah. and all of those things. That is just the surface level. And so as we start to mature as an industry, and let's be real, blockchain really isn't that old. We're not barely a teenager. Remember how awkward you were as a teenager?
Yes.
As we mature as an industry, we will see more and more use cases, and we will see it touch every aspect of our lives. And I've said that a few times, but it's not hyperbole. It's the truth.
And to just reiterate, like with Ted's, his mission to Miami, to the youth of Miami, for example, if they're not participating, at some point, there's going to be a big company that says, you know, we're going to make it just talking about Starbucks, right? They took the NFT technology, they put it out there. You don't even know it's an NFT. Eventually, everything will be that way. The music industry will catch up. And what you're listening to on Spotify is actually an NFT in the background. But that removed the opportunity for a young person to say, you know what? I want to reinvent Spotify. I want to reinvent this thing because these big conglomerates are doing something. Not that it's bad. It could have been that young person that created the better Spotify, that got the funding, that then got sold and changed his life because they participated. But I want to say one thing, like with my three partners, that the fact that it's Web3 has a particular ethos, mm-hmm. a particular philosophy that other technologies doesn't have. The fact that I put myself out there to the city, that they introduced me to these two individuals, that made us come together to do this together. And the people that came to help us do that actually made it happen. Like volunteers, people that came out of nowhere to make these things happen. Technology doesn't, you know, when I was building e-commerce, there wasn't people just coming out of nowhere and like, hey, let's form a community and let's embrace this, let's teach people about it. It wasn't that important. This particular technology, for one reason or another, not just about the technology and making money and doing something creative, I think people who get involved realize that there's a bigger story being told, that there's change happening. And makes people that maybe had never worked together, work together. And that's very important.
Very, very. Now, one thing, I know we touched on music, right? And you mentioned something earlier that was really interesting. Web 1, Web 2, and now we're at the cusp of Web 3. Now, I know with Web 3, we have ownership as individuals for our web domain per se, right? If we own a domain, we own it. There's no censorship or anything like that, right? Am I correct? Okay, I'm just waiting for some feedback, guys.
You're saying it.
So in that train of thought, right? What are some of the other utilities with Web3 that people aren't really touching on that you know of?
Authenticity is going to be massive. Yes. So you're seeing these luxury brands embrace Web3 right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, what they're doing is consumer facing. But the reason that they're playing in those sandboxes is ultimately you're going to be able to tether an NFT digital receipt, whatever you want to call it, to proof of authenticity. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest contributor for like basically theft or fraud or whatever you want to call it is counterfeits. And so you see brands like Kering that owns a litany of luxury brands, LVMH, they're all making moves in the space, Nike. It's for a reason, yes. Because they realize that this will be able to mitigate any sort of knockoffs going forward, because if it doesn't have that digital fingerprint that says, yes, this thing is real, you know it's a forgery. You're seeing high-end jewelers integrate NFTs. You're seeing all of these industries look at the angle that can work for them. There was a use case a couple of years ago now, God, that's been a minute, where it was Blue Mountain Coffee. Mm-hmm. Considered one of the best coffees in the world. Mm-hmm. Well, they actually embedded NFT-powered sensors so they could know the exact harvest date, the exact humidity, the exact temperature that this coffee was grown in, because it's a more meaningful story to be able to market it from.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see it touch on marketing. You're going to see it touch on... Honestly, we've had so much rancor about elections in this country and others. If you put your vote on blockchain, it is immutable. And it is one and done, and you know exactly who did it, when and where and what time.
I think if they were to do voting as blockchain, it would still be a disaster on the media.
Well, that's a whole other argument. That's a whole other podcast, and you can get people far more qualified to have that conversation. But I am an evangelist, much like my two co-founders, for this technology for a reason. We think it will touch everything that we do. And that's a crazy statement, but it really, close your eyes, imagine what a future looks like. I'm hard-pressed to figure out a space where it won't touch our lives. Gianni touched on title. Like, that's a no-brainer. One of the biggest problems in the real estate industry is something called cloud on title. It means there's some sort of dispute or some aspect of the history of that property that wasn't properly recorded. If it's issued as an NFT, if it's on blockchain, once it's memorialized, it's there for all time. It's not going to fall off or not get recorded at the recorder of deeds because it was there. And once it's there forever.
It is. It really is. Once it's locked in, it's locked in.
Is it?
I mean, there's so much utility, so much use of this space. Where do you gentlemen see this space in the near future, and then in the long, I know long term is everything, but the near future, where do you think it's going to touch on first?
I think it's just continued cultural things. I think music, gaming, and sports, we're going to continue pushing the NFT space further and further. Those are the places that still need to be developed. And then in blockchain, logistics, digital currencies for governments, right? The US dollar would not continue being the way that it is. It will eventually be some form of cryptocurrency. It's inevitable. It's going to happen.
It's inevitable. We can't print that much money.
Well, you can still print money on blockchain, but I'm saying the technology that drives that will be on the blockchain. Please.
Well, I was just going to say, China already has a digital yuan, and the Fed, if you actually read the Fed minutes, they've been talking about a digital dollar now for years. So Gianni's right. It is only a matter of time. One thing that I think we'll see within the next, say, three-ish years, if not less time, ticketing going to NFTs. Mm-hmm. And specifically, because I like to follow the money, because money usually will tell you where people's motives are. Mm-hmm. The biggest part of economic activity that leagues and teams don't participate in is trading on the secondary market of their tickets. And so if those tickets are issued as an NFT, they can actually charge a royalty when those tickets trade second, third, fifth, 19th time. And so I think they're highly incentivized to make that shift to digital tickets going forward, because they're going to make more money.
And that'll get the, if the artist gets involved, that's a bigger win for the artist. Mm-hmm. If they get involved in those types of NFTs for ticketing.
Absolutely.
So do you see, so education is key. Definitely. That's a big takeaway here, because I'm from Miami, right? I know Miami's not from the outside looking in, it's glitz, glam, innovative, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're in the city, you see that there's the ignorance on this topic. It's pretty vast, to be quite honest. Not everyone is into it. Solidity is a writing program that not everyone are even familiar that exists. You know, I was lucky enough that I learned coding because of this space, you know, just to be able to get up, because I can't get involved without getting in, you know. And Solidity was a lot of YouTube, a lot of YouTube to watch and learn how to do a smart contract with a project. But these projects, you know, the learning curve gets smaller and smaller. You know, you have ChatGPT now that they could write contracts for you. The system writes contracts. How do you see AI and the digital space unifying here?
How do I see ChatGPT and AI? I think that's a whole other subject, to be honest with you. The technology aspect of ChatGPT is going to change the world, both in education and I don't know, to be honest with you. Every day I have a different thought with it.
Mm-hmm.
But as it relates to NFTs, I think, you know, we're seeing NFTs that are being built with generative art.
Yes.
We're seeing generative music.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing these things happening on chain. We're seeing, and there may be even some AI that generates things autonomously on the blockchain. And the reality is, like, DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations,
mm-hmm.
were always meant to be some form of AI that would run on the blockchain and decide to do things, like decide to send you money, let's say, because it met certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows if there's like a ChatGPT that would be able to do those types of things. But it's a little bit far reaching right now to even contemplate the ramifications of AI on blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a whole other, but it also will go through its own trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
Something really horrible is going to happen with ChatGPT or some kind of AI, and people are going to do a fit and they're going to try to ban it. And then somebody is going to do something fantastic with it. And we're going to go back and forth.
Nope.
We're going to go back and forth, and it's not going to change. So,
all right. Well, gentlemen, before we break off then, any last words about NFT week? Any information that you'd like to divulge?
Miami NFT Week is March 31st to the 2nd at Wynwood Mana Convention Center.
Okay.
It's 3 days of fantastic education. We have more than 250 speakers, ranging also with like keynotes, like Anthony Diorio, the co-founder of Ethereum, will be speaking at the conference. We have Dan Fleischman. Who are some of the other people? I'm drawing a blank because there's so many things that we're doing.
Well, you referenced Laura Rodriguez. This is such a heartwarming story. We have a young lady who attended our conference last year, was so inspired that at FIU, she actually started a blockchain center. She started a blockchain club there. She's a speaker this year. So just a very heartwarming story. We have Anthony Scaramucci, who's from Skybridge Capital and the SALT Conference, mm-hmm. speaking about institutional investments in the space and alternative investments around Web3 specifically. We have Baron Davis, the former NBA All-Star, who's now put all his time and energy into the Web3 space. We obviously are fortunate to have Mayor Francis Suarez come and support us because he sees this shared vision of what Miami is and can become. So those are just a few. And I just encourage you, like I said before, if there is an impediment or a reason that you want to come and you can't, we are all super public, Ted, Gianni, and myself. DM us. We will find a way to get you in. We do not want you to miss this opportunity, miss this wave, because if you do, you're going to look back maybe a year, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years down the road, and you're going to say, darn, I missed it.
Yeah, you're going to say, darn, I'm a consumer when I could have been the one that's pushing out this product and making it happen. That's what we're trying to avoid, is making sure with what's happening here in the tech space in Miami, that locals don't become to be a consumer and have to move to Naples and just come back to Miami.
Oh, no.
We are giving you that opportunity. My partners just told you that we're giving out tickets to people that we want them in the building to educate. We're not here just trying to make a whole lot of money off of people. Mm-hmm. We want to educate the community and make sure they're aware of what's happening here locally in South Florida.
I love that, man. I really do. You gentlemen have any shout outs Anyone you want to give a quick shout out to?
I want to shout out to you. I mean, you know, 305, the 305 magazine, you know, like this is part of the conversation of supporting the local community. And we appreciate you having us on your podcast. We appreciate, we talked before of all, briefly, all the stuff you've done in the past and this, and also your own evolution from going from print to digital. Like this is really important and we're very happy to have been here with you.
I appreciate that, man. I'm glad that you guys are here on the podcast, really am.
I want to shout out our team. Yes. We couldn't do this without our team. So Monica, Vontae, Quinn, Julie, Alyssa,
Verdell.
Without Verdell, this would not take place. So we just have so many people that have become a blessing in our lives and have this shared vision about what this can be for the community. And we couldn't do it alone. Just because we're three knuckleheads who had an idea, we needed the team behind us to make this vision real. And it's a testament that we put this together. That's one thing we haven't touched on.
No, we didn't.
We put this conference together last year in 9 weeks. Yes. And we had over 5,000 people show up IRL, 3,000 watch online in a metaverse partnership. And we pulled in marquee household name speakers like you referenced before, Mark Cuban.
Yeah, that's incredible. That really is.
I want to put out social media if you want to make sure that they can follow them on social media.
Yeah. On all social media, it's Miami NFT Week. Okay. On Twitter, on TikTok, on YouTube, on LinkedIn, everywhere the same thing. On Instagram as well, for them to start seeing all the new announcements and excitements that are happening during the conference.
Excellent. This won't be the last event you guys do, right?
No,
it won't be.
Awesome.
We're just getting started.
Excellent, man. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being part of the show. We got to do another round too after this event to see how it went, you know, talk about the logistics of everything and where this technology is, you know, where it's going to go in a couple years, you know. And definitely want to keep digging into this. It's such a great topic. And for everyone listening, make sure you follow Miami NFT Week and come out. If you're in Miami, make plans, come out, be part of it, volunteer. Learn something. It's definitely something to get into, gentlemen. Again, thank you so much. Any goodbyes?
No, good. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Peace.